Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go. And back to the Super Bowl we go. The Patriots are a slight 2.5-point favorite Sunday against the Rams. History is definitely on New England's side. They're playing in their third straight Super Bowl. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to their ninth together. On the other side, the Rams are in their first Super Bowl since 2001. We're joined by FS1 NFL analyst and former Pro Bowl receiver, DJ Houshmandzadeh. Mm-hmm. Good to have you with us.
Way to go.
Thanks for being here. So, I'm guessing you heard these two, their picks from earlier today. Shannon went with the Rams. Skip, going with the Patriots.
I'm going with Tom Brady, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to be clear about that.
Tom Brady
is not a team.
You can't just pick the one guy. Yeah. Well, let's see what TJ has to say. Who are you going with Sunday?
Oh, man, I'm with Shannon on this one. I'm going with the Rams. Yeah. And disclaimer, I've picked against the Patriots every game so far, so saying too much. But I just look at it as I see the score being, I actually think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Rams win 34-24.
Really, by 10?
Yeah, you got to take away the Patriots' run game. You cannot allow them to run the ball. They've come out against the Chargers and the Chiefs, and first drive, they pretty much showed you what we're going to do. We're going to pound you. We're going to keep the ball away from this offense, and Wade Phillips is not going to allow Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels to just run the ball, and you got to make them one-dimensional, and I see them doing that. You got four first-round picks on D-line. You got Michael Brockers, Aaron Donald, and Dominican Sue, and Dante Fowler. Those four guys got to show why they were top of the first-round picks. They have to make Tom Brady hitch, hold the ball, slide left or right. They can't do that. It's going to be a long game.
That make you feel any better, Shannon?
I have trust in Wade Phillips because I agree with you, TJ. The way to win this ball game, the Chargers and Kansas City let the Patriots have whatever they wanted. They didn't stop the run, and they didn't get any pressure. Well, because if you can't stop the run, it's kind of hard because you don't want to try to get upfield because they're gashing you in that aspect. But what I like about what I've seen from the Rams is while they were giving up 5.1 yard per carry in the regular season, that's down to 2.3, and they shut down two top five running games in the Cowboys and the Saints in back-to-back weeks. I don't believe the Patriots' running game is as dominant as those two running games. But what those two teams didn't have is Tom Brady. I'm going to put the ball, and I feel it's like it's sacrilegious to say this. I want the ball in Tom Brady's hand, and I want him to throw the ball 50 times. Because if they run the ball, if they get a balance of Tom Brady throwing it 30 and they run it 30, they got zero chance of winning this game.
You can't give them both. You have to take some away, and it's crazy when you look at the Patriots, just how successful they are year in and year out with what they have. And it's what you have to make Tom Brady beat you via the air. And it's not so much that you're putting the game in Tom Brady's hands. You're saying his receivers aren't good enough to consistently beat us.
Yes.
Snap after snap after snap.
TJ, you and Mr. Sharp will not learn your lesson. You both picked against him twice already, and he played, to me, some of the highest level playoff football I have ever seen him play. I don't think he's ever been better than he was against the Chargers and certainly at the Chiefs when they went 13 for 19 on third down against two of the best pass rushes, two better pass rushes than the Rams have as far as just getting to the quarterback. The Rams have a better D-line, and it should be able to take away the run. It should put the game in Tom Brady's hands. I just don't think that's a good thing for either of you two because he will figure out a way over time to beat this defense. I think he will slowly but surely pick this defense apart. And if you take Sony Michel away or Rex Burkhead, and by the way, they closed the game with Burkhead, not with Sony Michel. That's their closer. That's their ground and pound guy at the end of the game. And yet, I think that the Rams will have their way with Belichick's defense. I think they'll be playing Madden, and I think Brady will just keep playing chess. And whatever you take away, it will open something else up. And I don't know, some other receiver is going to have a big game because I think Wade will say, you just can't have Julian Edelman at will, like Kansas City.
That's what they did with Malcolm, Michael Thomas and Stacey. They took him out of the game.
Just took him. That's correct. And Tlaib, as we all know, is there a better press corner than Aqib Tlaib? And as Brady said on Monday night, are there two better interceptors? He called them two of the best in NFL history as a combo, because Marcus Peters, again, he's a cluer and he'll blow some coverages, but if he guesses right, he will go the other way with the football, and so can Tlaib. And Tlaib was obviously a Patriot, so he got to practice against Tom Brady, so this is Brady's biggest challenge, but I think some other receiver will start to hurt you. And I don't love his receiving core overall. I think Gronk's just a shell of himself, but Philip Dorsett could have a big game. He could get behind the Rams a couple times. I don't love the Rams' safeties. I think they're vulnerable at safety. I think Chris Hogan could sneak behind you once or twice for big plays. So, again, Brady has to win the game of keep away. Like, he won it, it was 44 minutes to 21 minutes at Kansas City because of the overtime. But in this case, 35 to 25, because his defense is not very good. This is the worst supporting cast he's taken to.
But if the Rams are able to prevent the Patriots from running the ball, that time of possession will not be – it won't be in the favor of the Patriots just
because –
it
won't be lopsided, correct.
They're just running the ball. The key is, too, Todd Gurley must have 20 touches. It doesn't matter how he gets them. He needs to touch the ball 20 times. It's the – I don't know what happened against the Saints. I don't know if he was hurt or they just really felt like Anderson was doing a better job.
That's what happened.
Todd Gurley needs to touch the ball 20 times. Mm. In 15 carries, 6 or 7 receptions, he has to touch the ball 20 times.
And the thing is, Skip, the thing why you want Brady to throw the ball, look, the running backs don't fumble. At least when Brady puts the ball up, I can get a tip pass here, I can get a carom off a guy's shoulder pass and get a pick. Michelle doesn't put the ball on the ground. Those running backs don't fumble the ball. So if you don't shut up their run and they somehow ended up with 30 rush attempts, 35 rush attempts, 150, 200 yards, that means Tom Brady is going to have a clean game. He'll end up going something like 23 of 30 for 285 yards and 3 touchdowns. They'll get blown. If they give the Patriots what the Chargers and Kansas City gave them, it'll be an ugly game.
It's over. But and the Rams can get pressure without blitzing. And so you'll have extra guys in coverage. The pass they're completing against the Chiefs, where it's two-man, the Chiefs are playing, and Edelman keeps going across the middle, that's not going to be there for the Rams. They're not going to play two-man. They're going to man you up. They're going to have a robber in the middle of the field. So they're going to force you to do different things. They're going to press the receiver. So now Tom Brady has to hold the ball a split second longer. They can get that pass rush up the middle. It's really, if they double Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, you don't have to sack Tom Brady. Make him feel you. He has to be able to smell you. He throws the ball. You touch him so that he knows you're there and gets him a little antsy.
Have you seen any decline in Tom Brady this year because of age?
No. Brady is he still looks the same. He throws the ball the same. He's better because he's more mature mentally, smarter mentally. Now, there's no decline in Tom Brady at all.
Yet you are going to bet against him.
Yeah, the only guy that I trust offensively as a receiver is Julian Edelman. And that, I just don't believe the way they took Michael Thomas out of the game, they're going to do the same thing with Edelman and say, Brady, you're going to have to go to somebody else. And everybody, this is a team game. Julian Edelman is a team player, but he's going to get frustrated if he's not getting the ball. This is super. He will be frustrated.
TJ, let me ask you if you think about this. I would take Aqib Tlaib, and I would put him on. I'll put him on Chris Hogan, and I would roll coverage to Edelman and Gronk.
I would do that as well. You have. I don't know if I would put him on Hogan because I feel like that's a waste. How many targets? I don't believe they're gonna throw the ball more than 5 times with Chris Hogan.
Shannon, so, what are you talking about, Chris Hogan? Tlaib, he'd be bored. What would he do?
It will be
because that way I can take my coverage and I can neutralize him. You're not going to throw him any targets. Now I can take these two men. I can double Gronk. I can double Edelman.
Yeah, but Tlaib will be eating popcorn on the field, right?
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can do that, but you're going to have to mix it up, because when you start moving Tlaib around, you're pretty much telling Tom Brady and McDaniels what type of coverage you're in, and so now it starts to get too easy for Brady. Okay, this is what they've done. The previous times he's done this, okay, I'm expecting this now. So you're going to have to mix it up, mainly man-to-man. That's what Wade Phillips plays. And you just got to hope that the DBs can slow the receivers down at the line of scrimmage and that defensive line can just get Tom Brady a little antsy.
So I got a question for both of you. Tom Brady has played in 8 Super Bowls. Has he played a bad one? Seriously.
I mean, the first one wasn't great.
Yeah, but in the...
But he was young.
Hey.
He's played well.
The last drive, the field goal drive, go back and look at what he did. Go look at the passes he completed to set up the 49-yard field goal.
Well, here's the thing, Skip. The first 3.5 quarters of the Atlanta game, he was horrible.
And then?
Atlanta gave him the game.
Oh, gave him the game.
I was just watching some 3rd-and-1 in Atlanta. Throws the ball. Third and one. They throw the ball. Fumble. Yes. Matt Ryan fumbles the ball to Patriots. I mean, it was...
In the fourth quarter and overtime against Atlanta, Tom Brady threw for 246 yards. That's a game. That's like a pretty good game for most quarterbacks. 246 and 2 touchdowns.
Tom Brady can have a good game. Right. He can throw for 350 yards. You just can't allow him to run for over 120.
You can't let him run for 150.
Mm. That's the key. He can throw the ball. You just can't give him both. Mm.
I keep saying this will be Tom Brady's greatest Super Bowl challenge, and when he wins, which he will, it will be his greatest achievement because Wade Phillips has been his kryptonite. They got the best D-line. They got 2 of the best cover corners and, as Brady said, 2 of the best interceptors in Super Bowl history. And all of a sudden, what on paper, the Rams are clearly the better team, and that's what you're going with, right?
I'm going with those guys up front. I mean, things can come full circle. Super Bowl 36, that was the Bill Belichick's and Tom Brady's first Super Bowl against the Rams. Cool. Would this be their last Super Bowl win against the Rams, or will it be their last Super Bowl loss against the Rams? So I see it being a loss. That defensive line, they got to show up. They got to show up. Hmm.
That pressure only works if your back end can hold up and give you an extra tick to get there. Hmm. Because if you let Brady throw the ball to his first option, which is normally Edelman, or swinging the ball out of the to a running back, you got no chance. Hmm. You got to make him clutch it.
So in the 2 playoff games, Tom Brady has gotten rid of the ball in an average of 2.1 seconds, and he just flat out wore out the pass rushes of the Chargers and the Chiefs, where they got to the fourth quarter and they were just gassed because you know how hard it is to try to get to the quarterback with all your might, and then you fall short and you fall short and you get there late and you get there late, and finally by the fourth quarter, you're just out of it. And Joey Bosa said in the fourth quarter to Tom Brady, quit throwing it so fast.
But what did Shannon just say? If you go back to the Chargers and the Chiefs, that secondary, the back end, they're playing off coverage. Mm-hmm. You got to get up and press the Patriots. That messes up the timing. Now the ball's not coming out on time. You got to pat the ball and say, okay, let's see how this release is. Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't get a clean release. Now I got to go to this read. The Chargers and the Chiefs, they just played off coverage, free release. You got to get up and press those guys and mess that timing up. Throw it off.
So by your strategy, it sounds like Brady's going to have his worst ever Super Bowl game because he's going to have no run game and no open receivers. So
I mean, those guys.
No. That's not what we're saying. We're saying you must take the run game away. Okay. Skip, I told you in the opening segment that Tom Brady's probably going to have 450 plus. You can live with that. But what you can't live with is Tom Brady having 300 and 150 to 200 yards rushing. Hmm.
You can't lose both. You have to take something away.
I'll tell you what I can't live with is Bill Belichick giving up another 41 points in a Super Bowl. That's what I can't live with.
Because, Skip, think about this. The most passing yards in a postseason game in history, the team lost in which the quarterback threw for 500 in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And that was Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And even though they ran the ball, Skip, they were behind. They didn't get enough touches. They still was over 100 yards.
Yeah, but there's a big asterisk on that game because the
best... It ain't no asterisk on no game.
Yeah, they're the best cornerback for the New England Patriots.
Man, you better stop it. You hear that, TJ?
He didn't play a snap. Malcolm Butler didn't play.
That baffled me as well, but the way he played this year, you make Belichick look like a genius.
I thought he played pretty well down the stretch this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Okay, TJ, it has been great to have you. Thank you for joining us today. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here, and thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. If you're looking for more Super Bowl Sunday fun, well, here's your answer. During the game, come hang out with us at the Fox Sports Super Bowl Party. From in-depth analysis to hilarious bet payoffs, this is sure to be the craziest Super Bowl event you've ever seen. Join in on the fun with Mark Shalareth, Dean Blandino, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Jason McIntyre on the Fox Sports Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages, or FoxSports.com starting at 6:15 p.m. Eastern.
No mercy.
All right, let's go back to 9 days ago when Jet safety Jamal Adams drilled the Patriots mascot at the Pro Bowl. There were some reports that the mascot had to go to the hospital after that hit, and Skip was one person that was not a fan of it. Skip and Jamal had a little back and forth on Twitter. Here's how it started. Skip tweeted, "Just watch the video of Jamal Adams getting a running start and knocking down the Patriots mascot, then celebrating with Pro Bowl teammates. Hey, if you can't beat or knock down real Patriot players, guess you have to take it out on their mascot. Enjoy the Super Bowl, Jamal." Then Jamal responded by tweeting this, "Skip, please make up your damn mind. Are you a Pats fan or a Cowboys fan? Stop acting like Drake switching sides every week." And we are joined in Atlanta by Jamal Adams. Welcome to Undisputed. All right, Jamal, the floor is yours. What is your response?
Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing?
How are you, Jamal?
We good, bro. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
I'm good. No problem, man. I'm ready to, you know, talk with my guy Skip, man.
Okay, what do you
I'm excited
say?
For this one.
Jamal.
What's up, Skip?
How are you, Jamal? So if you want, I'll start.
Start it off, man. Okay. Please start it off.
Here was my point. You are obviously a very good football player. You might just turn into an all-time great football player because you have that potential. So what would possess you to get a running start and knock down the poor mascot of the Patriots and send him to the hospital? You hurt the poor man, and it's so beneath the dignity of a potentially great football player to do that to a mascot when you should save it for, I don't know, run over Sony Michel or Rex Burkhead or maybe even Julian Edelman next year when it really counts, because that wasn't funny or clever or cool. That was just weak on your part, because you are better than that, Jamal Adams. Your response, please.
Is it my turn yet?
Yes, no.
Your turn.
Okay. So do you like to have fun, man? You
yes,
seem
I
so
do.
Up and tight all the time.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose.
I really
fun.
Can't. I don't know, man. I don't think you have fun a lot, man.
Okay.
He well, does you know, Jamal, he does not have fun.
I know it doesn't, Shannon. You know, I have a lot of respect and love for you, brother. If it wasn't for you, man, I think the show would be nonsense if it was just Skip's show.
Mm. Okay.
But my comments, you know, to you know, respond back to what you said, man. At the end of the day, you know, he was out there taunting the fans. All of the fans at the Skills Challenge was booing him, you know, while he was running, just taunting them. And, you know, I said, hey, let me put a stop to this. And, you know, it was all fun and games at the end of the day. You know, the first thing I did, I made sure, you know, a guy on the, you know, that works with the NFL went up to the mascot and made sure it wasn't a young lady, because I didn't want that to happen. So it was kind of planned. While you got a little serious, you know, you like to say a lot of negative things about a lot of people, a lot of players, but 90% of the time you're wrong. Let's get that
that's,
you know, 100%
straight. That's wrong on your part. Go ahead.
You know, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was out. I was out there having fun, man. Everybody enjoyed it. You know, obviously, I caught a lot of heat with the Patriots fans, and really just you. So, you know, other than that, I'm good with my odds. You know, what you didn't see is when I tackled him, he got up and, you know, he chased me down and tackled me as well. But you don't want to talk about that one, man. You want to keep the negative light on me. Mm.
Well, I read, I think you even tweeted he had to go to the hospital, so I don't know what shape he was in to chase and knock you down, right?
But how do you know he went to the hospital? There's a lot of people that said he went to the hospital. There's a lot of people that said he didn't.
Okay, so, well, I don't know for sure. I read maybe, it. Didn't you tweet it? Didn't you? I thought I read that in your tweet.
No, I didn't tweet it. I didn't tweet it, man. I don't know if he went to the hospital. Obviously, that wasn't the goal, to put him in the hospital. Maybe he got hurt while he was chasing me and tackled me. That's maybe where he got the sore jaw and the sore back.
Hmm. Well, I must say, It was the best hit I saw delivered at the whole Pro Bowl, including the football game, because nobody really hit each other at the football game. But congratulations to you for being the defensive MVP.
I appreciate that, man. That was something positive that I always remember from you. Hopefully, you know, you continue, you know, to stay positive about, you know, myself.
Okay, well, I'm open for business, but next year maybe you need to go about beating the Patriots on the field. That would be
man,
your...
leave people alone.
You know, that's, I'm that's, just saying, yeah. that's the next the order
that's,
of business
That's definitely
here,
the plan,
right?
but yeah, that's definitely the plan, man, yeah, but I wanted to make sure, you know, you understood. If you was in the uniform, I definitely would have hit you a little bit harder.
Okay.
So, you know, anytime you want to do that, we can get there's a lot all of right. space and opportunity out there. You know, you and I can go, you know,
okay, we'll
toe
do
to
that.
Toe. Let's do that.
And you know what we'll do after that?
We'll set it up.
Then
we'll set it up in Vegas.
We'll put on our tank chops and our shorts and we'll go run after that. And we'll go as far as you want to run. 8 miles, 10 miles
let's
one
do
of
it.
Your weekly checks. We'll bet that. How about that? You want to do that? We'll do it
Let's
tomorrow.
Do it. Oklahoma's real. Yeah. You and I. Yeah. Tomorrow, we can
okay.
do it right now.
But
I'm ready.
That,
hey,
go
Jamal, before, oh.
Yeah,
before
yeah,
we,
yeah.
Get, before we get too far, you've been very open about what you guys need offensively. You said you want Antonio Brown. You like to have
right.
Le'Veon Bell. Is that wishful thinking, or are you trying to plant a seed into the Jets front office? Go get these guys.
Honestly, you know, Shannon, I'm just trying to get as many guys as possible to come help us, you know, win this thing, man. Obviously, that's the plan. You know, I always say it, I'm like LeBron. I want to play with everybody. I want to play with all the great players. And, you know, anything we can do to, you know, make the team, you know, better, that's what I'm about, man. I'm all about winning and all about trying to change the culture around, you know, the Jets Nation. I believe, you know, we deserve it. The fans deserve it. And, you know, we got to change this thing around quickly.
If Adam Gase were to call you, I don't know if you talked to Adam Gase, your new head coach. If he were to call you into his office and ask you, Jamal, what do you think we need in order to get us over the hump to make us a serious, a playoff contending team?
Honestly, man, again, man, you know, Shannon, we got to get more players, man. Simple fact. Obviously, we have talent in the locker room, but at the same time, man, we still need more talent to make it to these big games. You know, and to win those big games, you gotta have the total package. You know, we're not too far off, obviously. You know, we just gotta put all the puzzle pieces together, and I think the sky's the limit, man, once we do that.
So let's get to what's happening this Sunday, Jamal. You are betting on which team, or which way are you going in this game? Are you gonna go with the Patriots in your division to be loyal to your division, or are you gonna go with the Rams?
Honestly, man, I just want to see a great football game. At the end of the day, I don't really know who I'm going with. Obviously, it's two outstanding programs that's, you know, about to go head-to-head, and they're the best of the best, so I wish them well.
You okay. played against the Patriots. If Sean McVay were to call you in his office, let's take Wade Phillips because you play defense. Let's say Wade Phillips called you in and said, Jamal, you played this team twice. You've had some success. How would you go about defending Tom Brady in this offense?
Well, the first thing you have to do, man, is disguise. Obviously, he's seen everything. He's been in the game for a long time. He's the GOAT. So you got to disguise in the back end. You got to disguise, you know, the front, the linebackers. You know, it's got to be, you know, a team effort, man. I'll put it like that. And the main thing is slowing down Gronk. Gronk, you know, has a lot of confidence going into this game. He had a hell of a game last game versus, you know, the Chiefs.
Jeez.
And I think that, you know, right now he's hot. He's hot right now, man. So you got to slow him down. You got to take away Edelman, and you definitely got to slow that run game down.
All right. Jamal, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy this weekend. And coming up, guys, we've got the Rambassador, Eric Dickerson. He's here. He's going to break down the Super Bowl. Jamal, thanks again.
Jamal, I can't let you hit Skip. You might break him. I can't let you hit Skip, Jamal.
Hey, Shannon. Hey, anytime
yeah.
you want to sip some Hen Dog, man, we can do that, man. Let's go sip that Hen Dog on the beach or something, man.
Mm. All right, now what I'm talking about, Skip, see?
Clearly.
Always get invited to the cookout.
I want no part of that.
Yeah, either way. All right, you guys enjoy
yeah,
that.
Yeah, bring Skip along, man. We'll take a couple shots, man, and then we can go one-on-one.
And then we'll figure things out.
I'm ready.
Settle it there.
Time.
Jamal, thank you. I will make sure that happens someday.
No mercy.
Well, we are joined live in Atlanta by the Rambassador, Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us.
Hey.
Gosh,
I couldn't hear. What'd you say?
I said good to have you with us, Eric.
Thank you. I'd be glad to be here. What's going on, Skip?
All right. There's a lot to get to. All right, Eric.
I got to ask. Do you have Mini ED with you there? I can't see him.
You know, he didn't make the – he had to stay back in L.A. to get all the Ram fans all psyched up.
Okay.
He left New Orleans a couple of days ago, so he parted New Orleans for about 2 weeks, but he's back in L.A. now.
I had a feeling you maybe sent him to join us on the set, but either way, I'm sure if you guys are successful Sunday, he will be here. So let's get to it. How confident are you in your Rams this Sunday?
I'm very confident in the Rams. I mean, I've been looking forward to this for 17 years. This rematch really is what it is from 17 years ago. And we know how good the Patriots are. We know how good Tom Brady is, Bill Belichick. But I think people have underestimated the Rams pretty much all year from the beginning of the season. I mean, I think at one point we were 9-1, and a lot of people, Skip, you included, said that, you know, this team has a lot of flash, and, you know, I don't think they're a solid football team. They're a good football team, but not a great football team. And I kept saying that, you know, we're a really great football team. And, you know, time has shown that we're where I thought we'd be all along. How confident am I? I'm just as confident I was 2 weeks ago when I felt we'd beat the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. And I feel just as confident about this game. I think that the Los Angeles Rams will win this football game. Hmm.
So does that mean that the Rams are going to steal this game on a late blown call? Is that how confident you are?
don't ever start that stuff, Skip. Hey, look, they had a chance to win that game. That game went overtime. Hey, look, it's no guarantees that they'd have got the ball back. Let's say they got the ball back. It's no guarantees they'd have scored a touchdown. It's like when Seattle played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, everybody would have bet their life they're going to score. It's over. You never. That's just football. You never know what's going to happen on the next play. Mm.
So give us a score so I have something to shoot at. You think, what Rams by three touchdowns? What do you?
I think the Rams will win by seven. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I hope it's more, me personally, but I think they'll win by seven.
Well, that doesn't show a lot of confidence in your pick, right?
Seven? Hey, Skip, a win is a win. Hey, look, what does it say? You know, no confidence in the pick, or it's a win. It's a win is a win. You know how it works in football.
But you just said you were extremely confident. That would be three touchdown confidence.
Hey, you're not going to bait me into that, Skip. Come on now.
You know that.
I know he's trying to get a sucker bet. You know, I tell you, he tries to sit on the fence. He's like, "Whoa, I'm not sure." So he can have both. So I call you the junior Don King of football.
Really? So how is it that I just keep every week winning Diet Dew case after case after case from my man Shannon Sharp, another Hall of Famer? I'm not sitting on the fence.
Because I'll be giving them sucker bets.
Oh, sucker bets. Really? Okay. Well, go ahead, Shane.
I think the Rams, in order for – it has to start defensively. You have to shut up the Patriots' running game because the Chargers and the Kansas City failed to do that, and it kept the Chiefs in third and short, 3rd and 1-3. And you know when it's 3rd and 1-3, ED, you don't know if it's run or passed, and so pass, and it's really hard to stop that. Are you confident that the Rams can stop the run and put enough pressure on Tom Brady to get him off his spot?
I am confident in that, and you're right about that, Shannon. One thing, when you give the Patriots a 3rd and 1, you know, second and 3, 2nd and 2, you know, that's a plus for them. And the defense has played very well in this playoff run so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, they played very well in New Orleans on defense. They played well against your Cowboys, Skip, you know, shutting Zeke down, I think, to 41 yards. I know you hate to hear that. But, yes, I mean, this is the time to play well. This is that time. I mean, and one thing about our offense can score. I mean, we can keep up with any football team. And you have to give them credit. In New Orleans, a place that's hard to play. It's extremely hard to hear. You have to pretty much go with hand signals and quick counts down there. And they still were able to win that football game. They won't have that hostile crowd to deal with here in Atlanta.
So before I get to my opinion of your opinion, Mr. Dickerson, I've got to ask you about your running backs. Is Todd Gurley healthy, or is it about C.J. Anderson just being hotter than Todd at this point in the playoffs?
I think Todd is healthy. You know, at this point in the season, Shannon, you know this as well. You know, you're never 100%. If you're 80%, right, that's like being almost 100%, even 70%. So I think I believe that he'll be ready to play. You know, in that game in New Orleans, he didn't play well. I mean, that's football. But luckily, you know, we're fortunate to have another back in C.J. Anderson that if the main guy isn't playing well, and our main guy is Todd Gurley, you have someone else to go to. And we didn't run the football extremely well in that football game no matter what. You know, I got to say, in that football game, Jared Goff won that football game offensively. You know, his throws, his running the football, his bootleg, just getting away from the rush. You know, that was why we were able to win that football game. But I think in this game here, we will have to be able to run the football. We can run the football against the Patriots. And I know that I'm hoping that Todd Gurley will have one of these games, an MVP game, so everybody can put this to rest. Is Todd Gurley healthy? Is he ready? So I'm saying he's ready.
And I think C.J. Anderson could have an MVP game. Seems like he's just...
Hey, we don't care who has, as long as we win. We don't care who has.
So I'm going to boil this down for you guys, as I always do. And you just mentioned Jared Goff made some big-time throws at New Orleans to help win that game. And yet, this game for me boils down to the Rams have Jared Goff and the Patriots have Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. It's as simple as that. And you've got Wade Phillips, and he can be a chess master against Tom Brady. But while your offense is going to play Madden, Brady's just going to keep playing slow, mature chess. He will figure ways to pick your defense apart. Whatever you take away, he will find an opening over here, over there, because you have to give him something. And nobody in the history of football has found that something more slowly but surely than Tom Brady will. He's played 8 Super Bowls and never played a bad one. He's been in every game. He's won 5 of them with 5 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter overtime. And history is screaming at you right now. He's going to pull it off again this time. I think it's going to be 37-35 Brady over Sean McVay, because in the end, I just think Belichick's defense is torchable. You're going to have your way. You're going to score your points. But Brady will score more. I think he's been on a season-long, almost a vendetta, to get even with what Belichick did to him in last year's Super Bowl, which is bench Malcolm Butler for the whole game. Your best corner, the guy who'd played the most snaps all year, he played no snaps in the Super Bowl, and Brady's back to right the wrong. And I believe he's going to right it against your Rams.
Have you heard a guy named Nick Foles?
Yeah.
You ever heard his name before?
Yeah, the backup.
Didn't he play against Tom Brady? Didn't he play against Tom Brady last year?
Yeah, he played against Bill Belichick.
Did you make this same argument last year about Nick Foles versus Tom Brady? I'm just saying. I mean, I'm somebody help me out here. Didn't he say that last year? Yes, didn't he say that?
Was it you who predicted that Nick Foles would throw 41 points up on Belichick's defense? Because I don't think anybody predicted that. Because remember,
but you know what I did? I did predict that the Eagles would win that football. I said the Eagles would win this football game, and I didn't need the points. They will win. I said that most definitely. Go back and look at the tape. One thing you have to do with Tom Brady, any quarterback, I think any defensive player, an offensive player knows this. If you hit a quarterback and get in his face, no one likes that, and Tom Brady included. I think for sure the Rams will get pressure on Tom Brady, frustrate him. Of course, he's going to get his throws. He's going to be Tom Brady. There's no doubt about that. But do I believe that we're the better football team? Do I think we have a great game plan for Tom Brady? Yes, I do. You can't take anything from Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. Mm.
Go ahead, Shannon.
They're the champ for a reason. There's a reason why they've been 4-5 of these things in the last 5 years. They're well-coached. They're disciplined. They don't beat themselves, and somehow they find a way to convince the opposing team they need to be perfect, and sometimes they take unnecessary risk that puts them in harm's way. I just believe I know it's sacrilegious to say this, because Tom Brady is a GOAT quarterback. He's a transcendent player. But you've got to put the ball in his hands, because if you let them have a two-pronged attack where they're able to throw it and Tom Brady is able to pass it, you have no chance of beating them.
I agree with that.
Shannon, what have I told you from the start?
Yes.
There's one man in sports you do not bet against.
And it's, I'm betting against him.
You are. You bet 2 cases of Diet Mountain Dew, and
yes,
you're going to lose 2 more. You're
nope.
Already, we've cleared the decks, and we started over, and you're already down 2 cases just in these playoffs. And now you're going to be
down
4 cases because you won't learn your lesson. This is Michael Jordan in sheep's clothing. This is a cold-blooded assassin disguised as the nerdy, corny dad down the street. That's who he comes across as after the game. He's aw shucks, gee whiz, and he is an assassin, psycho Tom on the football field. You're going to see it once more, and you're going to have to come in here on Monday and say, yeah, I should have learned my lesson. But you won't. You just can't give in to him. You lost.
I'm gonna come in here very, very happy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be on a bender.
Are you really?
Cause I'm gonna be celebrating. Me and ED gonna be celebrating in the eight.
Oh, boy.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Matter of fact, you know what, Skip? I just got a text from Little E. He watching you right now. He said he wants some of that Mountain Dew too. He said he wants four cases of Mountain Dew.
Really?
I'm trying to get him off the phone right now. So he said he wants some of that best. He wants four cases of Mountain Dew, Skip.
We're talking about Mini ED.
Little Mini ED. He keep texting me over and over. I'm like, he said, tell Skip. He said, I'll take some of that.
You know what?
He's watching. Should... Yeah, I got my phone. Stop texting. I'm on air.
You know what? He should star in a horror movie this offseason because he's like a horror character. He's like the bride of Chucky, right? That's Mini ED.
He got that stare down.
Yeah, he does.
Skip, you're gonna be very disappointed on Monday. I'm sorry, Skip.
I have high confidence in Tom Brady winning a close game. Because they're always close games. All eight of them have been close. They could have gone either way, right?
You know what, Skip? How about you do this? Tell Ernestine to go watch the game at her girlfriend's house because you're going to be slinging furniture and kicking stuff, and I don't want Ernestine around for any of that.
Ernestine will not watch the game, period. She will go shopping. She'll go somewhere with her sister. They will be out and about. And she will
that's what you're doing. You getting Ernestine out of the house. They know she's going to be out and about. You getting out of the house. Yeah. You think you slick.
No, get out of the house. Right? Get out of the house.
She leaves because she wants no part of me during any football game. So I have the house to myself. Hazel, our little Maltese, is not invited. She cannot come in. She's in the other room, and I'm sorry. I go in between quarters and I say, are you okay, Hazel? And she says, are you okay? And I say, yeah,
no.
Okay.
I can't believe you.
Checking on you, Skip. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh. The two women that love you the most, you isolate them in the Super Bowl.
Yep, okay. I do, because this is it.
All right. It's a big weekend for everyone involved. Eric, thank you for joining us. Good luck to your
Rams. Good luck, EJ.
Hey, Thank you.
Don't
I got another text,
fun.
Skip. My God, he goes, stop.
Yeah, you know. Thank you to Mini ED for watching as well. All right.
No mercy.
Skip reports that Jerry Jones is not expected to extend Jason Garrett's contract short-term or long-term. The Cowboys made the playoffs this season, but Garrett only has two playoff wins for Dallas since becoming head coach in 2010. Jones was asked about the possibility of an extension earlier this week and said they've had a pretty good record the last few years, but it's, quote, not enough. The Cowboys did make a change on the offensive side of the ball yesterday, promoting Kellen Moore from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. So, Shannon, what does this tell you?
Tells me that Jerry Jones believes that Jason Garrett is not a very good coach. But, Skip, wasn't it 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that Jerry Jones said that if Jason Garrett was a free agent, he'd be in very high demand. Now, wouldn't you want to tie up a coach in very high demand for an extended period of time?
Touché.
Exactly.
Good point.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, Skip. Yep. The problem that Jerry Jones has is he wants all the credit and none of the blame for when they're losing. It's hard for me to believe that Jason Garrett has any say in the final 53. He has any say in free agency. He has any say in the draft. His thing is coach the team. Well, when he coaches the team, Jerry Jones second guesses everything that he does. Well, I just thought in that situation we should have gone for it on fourth down. And then what did you have? Every fourth down situation that came up, Jason Garrett started going for it. Mm-hmm. When that's not in his resume, that's Sean McVay, that's Sean Payton, Ron Rivera. Those are the guys that gamble normally on fourth down, not Jason Garrett. Also, and it's true, Zeke and Dak are coming to an end on their rookie contracts, and they've got one playoff win to show for it. Jerry Jones says, with the talent that I've assembled, we should be better. He said, when they beat the Saints, we're different cats.
Yep.
And lo and behold, they're the same cat, pole cats. Hmm. Long story short, they're skunks. They stink. Ooh. And I told you, Skip Bayless, and Jerry Jones, you're finally going to get your wish, Skip. Because I believe if Jason Garrett does not get this team to an NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, he's going to be out as your head coach.
I'm sorry, I'm still fixated on polecats, stink, skunks. You went all the way to skunks.
Hold on. In the South, that's what they call a skunk, a polecat.
I realize that. But
your Cowboys stink.
So I just can't. I can't let this lay. So my skunks, my Dallas skunks,
really? Okay.
I don't know how they did this, but they actually went 10-6 and won the NFC East and won me 6 cases of Diet Mountain Dew. And wait, it's my turn now. You already talked. And beat your guy, walk it to him, Wentz, not once, but twice. And
yes.
Then beat Seattle in this thing called a playoff game, right? It's actually called a postseason game. And the skunks skunked the Seahawks. I don't know how they did it. I don't know. It was an upset, I guess, right?
One?
Well, one's
as in
pretty
playoff
good.
Win.
There are a whole bunch of teams that did not win one playoff game this year. Whole bunch. I don't know the math on that, but it's the vast majority did not win one playoff game this year. Just one.
Of those teams that didn't win playoff game, which one is the Dallas Cowboys? Which one is the most profitable, the most recognizable sport, sports franchise in all the world? Which one of those?
Mm. Look, I'm not the biggest Jerry fan when it comes to running the football team. He's the greatest promoter in the history of promotion. He's the greatest salesman. He's the greatest marketer. He's got the most valuable team in the world. The world he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's not America's team. It's the world's team. But America. I must remind you that Jerry Jones, the meddler, actually meddled the Cowboys in 2014 all the way to 12-4 and what should have been 2 playoff wins because Dez caught it. You know it and I know it. But that would have been NFC championship game at Seattle where they'd already won in the regular season.
So that was an egregious call? Are you saying that was a blown call?
Well, yeah, that was a blown call because that went to replay, right? That one actually went. That was a non-call. That went to replay. And they blew the replay. That's how bad that was because clearly they just didn't want Jerry Jones to advance.
You need to stop.
What did the ref rule on the field? Right? Touchdown.
Yeah, he said it was a catch.
Yeah, because he caught it. He made not one football move. He made 3 football moves, then took the ball in his left hand because he's left-handed and tried to slam it on the goal line.
And what did he come – he got on the intercom. After further review, the receiver went to the ground, failed to maintain possession of the football throughout the entirety of the act of catching the football. Yeah. Therefore, the pass is ruled incomplete.
He had caught it, and he had run with it. And he was trying to slam it home for a touchdown. And the reason he didn't control it to the ground is because he didn't mean to control it. He meant to do what running backs get to do at the goal line, slam it on the goal line for a touchdown.
No.
Break the plane. And it just broke my heart. But who cares about that? Onward and upward. So then Jerry Jones meddled his way in 2016 to a 13-3 record and a near playoff win. I don't know. It was Mason Crossbar making 2 intercontinental field goals. I don't know. And neither one of them had any chance of going in, and they both.
I'm near my hometown right now, Skip. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it, but I'm near there.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But then this year, Jerry Jones meddled his way to a 10-6 record and a playoff win. So Jerry's done some right things, and he actually did one right thing back in 2013 because he did this same thing to Jason Garrett, who was nearing the end of his deal, and he just said, I'm going to make you play for a contract next year, which was 2014. They went 12-4, and he gave him 3 years. Did I love it? No.
Skip, think about what you just said. The whole while, you didn't mention Jason Garrett. All you said was Jerry Jones, which is the problem. And as Jenny read in the read-in, since 2010, they have 2 playoff wins.
Mm.
2. Well, Jerry has 2 playoff wins.
Pretty good. So.
Really?
Pretty good. Yeah. Is that skunk? Does that qualify as
skunks?
Oh, please.
For a team that's worth over $5 billion.
Yeah,
the most recognizable, the most profitable sports franchise in all the world, this is deemed unacceptable. This is what they call absolute failure.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what the bottom line to this discussion is. There's one man who can change life in Dallas, and he just got elevated to offensive coordinator. And if he gets elevated to play caller, you are in big trouble next year because Kellen Moore is the next Sean McVay. Book it. Book it. Remember I said this. Kellen Moore is the next Sean McVay. But he has to be given the authority and the autonomy to call his plays, to make his own game plan. Jason can have some input. They got John Kitten now as the quarterback. He can have some input. But Kellen Moore has offensive brilliance about him, which is why Dak all this week at the Super Bowl was raving about his connection to Kellen Moore.
What's he supposed to say?
No, well, he could just be half-hearted about it and say, we'll
no,
see
you
how
know,
it
they
works
no,
out.
They don't do that.
He loves him. Trust me on this. I know from the inside, he loves Kellen Moore. And Kellen Moore was a coach's son growing up. His father was his high school coach. And at age 5, he's drawing up plays. He's got that little genius thing going.
I know, and I saw him run those same plays he drew up at 5 in the Pro Bowl. Yeah, you watched them too.
Nobody was even playing. There wasn't even a football game. I don't even know what
it was. Nobody wants to tackle him. It took fourth quarter, 3 minutes left in the ball game, on fourth down for the NFC. Plays being called by Kellen Moore, team being head coached by Jason Garrett to get the ball in the end zone. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I'm not ashamed of myself, but I'm ashamed of Jason Garrett that he's still afloat as the head coach.
What?
And once upon a time, he called the plays for this team, so he's going to try to reinsert himself, I'm sure, with Mr. Jones and try to become the play caller again, and it cannot happen. Jason Garrett is no more than a head cheerleader. That's all. He is the smiling figurehead of the franchise. That's all he is. He's the figurehead head coach. And as long as he just keeps smiling and clapping, because he's Coach Clap, stay out of the way and let Kellen Moore call the plays. Why have the Rams risen this year? Because Jared Goff, who's not a great quarterback, but he can be pretty good, it's because he believes so strongly in what Sean McVay tells him in his ear. And so will Dak. If you let Kellen speak in his ear and tell him with conviction, this is what we're going to run, and this will work, because it's how you hear it in your ear. It's how much you believe in the play call. I don't think half the time Dak really believed in what Scott Linehan was saying in his ear. But in this case, he loves Kellen Moore, and he's going to trust what he hears.
Okay, you don't mind me asking. How much say do you think Sean McVay has on the final 53-man roster?
I don't know, honestly. Les Snead's obviously in control of that. I'm sure there's input.
I believe he has say. I believe he has final say on the final 53.
Yeah. What about Les Sean Snead Payton? Did a lot of good things, though. I think he's
the master. Yeah, I got no problem with that. But Les Snead does a lot of good things, and then he gets the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
He doesn't constantly try to insert himself like Jerry Jones does.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, Skip. If Jerry Jones believes that Jason Garrett has underachieved, underperformed, what other business will Jerry Jones believe the guy that's in charge has underperformed still would have his job now?
He wouldn't. Well, at least Jerry said the other day, yesterday, he said, I'm not going to extend him. At least that's a start. So he's, again, coaching for his job next year. But the key is Jerry going to let him call plays again? Kellen Moore will change life in Dallas, Texas, because Amari has already started to change life. And if you give Dak and Amari an offseason and a training camp with Kellen Moore overseeing, great things will happen. Not good things, but great things. And you are going to be eating lots of Monday crow. You're going to be losing.
No, I'll walk to him. Walking to him will be back by then. We'll be straight.
Yeah. Who will be, what'd you say? Who will be back?
Walking to him.
Oh,
Walking out.
I forgot all about him.
So did I.
Wait, you ain't forget about it.
Wait, is he going to be healthy next year? He's got.
He'll be just
knee,
fine.
It's a back. It's shoulder.
You just worry about those underperforming, underachieving Cowboys. No mercy.
He's back. LeBron made his return last night against the Clippers after missing the last 17 games, and the Lakers definitely needed him. LeBron nearly had a visit from Miss Trip Dub, finishing with 24 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. He played 40 minutes and said after the game he felt about 80%. Let's take a listen to the King on his return.
I'm not feeling, you know, particularly great right now. I'm definitely ecstatic about being back out there with my guys and getting a great role in. Versus a team that we're, you know, kind of, you know, climbing, you know, during, in the playoff race. But, you know, after being out 5 weeks, you know, I'm feeling it right now. I wish I could click my shoes together and be home right now in my bed. So, but it's great to be back out there. I love clothes. I love suits. But I didn't come here to put on a suit every day. I come here to put on a jersey and some shorts. That's what I came here to do and lead a team, you know, best way I know how. So, you know, that's the frustration part when you're seeing your team struggle and you know how much you can help them and you can't do anything in a suit and tie. So, you know, that's where the negativity starts to creep into the mind.
All right, Shannon, your guy is back. I see the smile. What grade would you give LeBron for last night's game, his return?
He told you, Skip Bayless. He told you, say the quiet before the storm. There's a hush over the land. And then there's a huge swelling up. And it touched down last night. Oh, at Staples. Oh, bro, go game and get it to him. I'm going to give him a B, Skip Bayless. I'm going to temper. I wanted to give him an A, but I'm going to give him a B because I saw that he lacked some explosiveness. Obviously, he wasn't willing to step on the gas for the entirety of the game. Now, he did show some bursts of getting to the basket, had a nice James Harden 1-2 step back. But, Skip, look, it's just a matter of time that he get his legs up under him and he feels comfortable putting the pedal to the metal. It's going to be over for the Western Conference. I told you this was going to happen.
Not the whole Western
I love
Western
the supporting
Conference,
cast. I love what Rajon Rondo did.
Yep.
What, 14 points, 13 assists.
Yep,
Ingram was 19 points on 7-12 shooting.
Yep.
I think that was impressive with Brandon Ingram for the simple fact he knows his name is in this trade discussion, and he played through it. And my guy, old Lance Guitar Stevens, had that thing humming last night.
I thought
that was Slash of Guns and Roses on that electric guitar. Really? Jimi Hendrix a little bit. Eric Clapton, you know, some of the greatest guitar players. B.B.
Wow.
King.
You Googled.
But you know what, Skip Bayless is just.
Google. Yeah.
I know you were sick last night, old Goat James giving it to him. But
sick?
I know what happened in the fourth quarter. They weren't making shots, and then all of a sudden they didn't want to defend. But LeBron James said, I want to go to overtime because I want to show y'all what I'm made of.
Huh.
Gave him 4 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds.
Really?
You saw it, Skip Bayless.
I did.
On a normal night,
if
LeBron James had been 100% healthy, that's a mid to high point triple-double. He still should have had one.
Yeah.
JaVale blew his assist. That'd have been 10.
I give you that. He should have done
it. But on a normal night, he's healthy. That's easily a 35 to 40 point triple dub, and you know it.
That all you got?
I got plenty more.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start right here. We had more weirdness from LaWeird James yesterday because I don't get it, man. Maybe he watched Undisputed yesterday?
Maybe.
Is that possible?
Yeah, you challenged him.
I was challenging him. I was calling him out like, what are you doing? You're LeBron freaking James. That's what I kept saying. Where are you? Your coach, after practice 2 days ago, said, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good in the practice before this practice.
No, he said he looked great. He didn't say pretty good. He said he looked great.
But he was saying he was moving just fine. He said he could see no issues whatsoever with the groin. And I guess LeBron woke up yesterday and said, you know what? They're right. I should just play. It's the Clippers. It is the team just above them in the standings. The last team that's in the playoffs is the Clippers. The Lakers out of the playoffs, but now they've jumped up to tie them. So, way to go, Goat James. Faux Goat James, as I call him. I mean, that was good. I'm glad he decided to show up last night. And in the big – but by the way, he made a Wizard of Oz reference after the game? I didn't know he'd know that movie.
I liked it.
Oh, yeah, he clicked his shoes.
Yeah.
There's no place like home.
Wow.
There's no place like home.
How does he know that movie? It's all-time great. I can watch it tonight.
Me
it's one of my favorites. Is there ever
don't
been
do
a
it anymore. You already watched
story?
It 1,000 times.
Yeah, I've watched it 1,000 times, but it's like the all-time underdog
so
team
good.
Story, right?
Oh, it's a great team story.
Way to go.
I'm with you, Skip.
So, now back to grade for last night. I'm with you, but for very, very different reasons.
What?
I'm going to give Goat James a B for his play last night because predictably, I thought he was a little rusty early because he played 8 early minutes with 3 turnovers, which was not great. He did not shoot the ball from distance very well. He's 1 for 6 from 3, but that's all predictable. I get all that. And yet, I thought he moved pretty much like his normal self. I'm going to give him what he said, 80% of confidence in his groin. There were sometimes it looked like he was protecting a little bit, like he wouldn't go to the 5th gear. He'd just try to keep it in 4th gear. But those are, 24, 14, and 9. That's pretty good. I'm going to give you a real solid B for that. And I did love the fact that I finally got to see somebody run the point for the Lakers last night because he was running point guard, point forward, point center. It's just fun for me. I appreciate the artistry of LeBron distributing the basketball. He conducts that offense. And you know what?
Yes.
Those kids all shoot it with more confidence when LeBron has delivered the basketball to them. It's a cool thing to watch. And to your point, I thought the kids showed no distraction last night, no
right.
letdown, no pouting or disengagement, because it's highly possible that in a few days they're all going to be Pelicans. And
right.
yet that didn't show last night. Now, to my issue of why I wouldn't give LeBron an A-minus or even an A for last night, he's got to close these deals. And once again, in the fourth quarter, when it was time to close, he couldn't close it because, remember, they're up 12 after three quarters. And then I'm going to go all the way down. They had big leads. They went up to 14 with 10:57 left. But they're up 7 with 1:57 left. That's, again, it's actually the Clippers' home game. But you're in your building, and it felt like it was more of a Laker crowd last night than a Clipper crowd. Mm-hmm. So you got to close that. And they allow a 7-0 Clippers run to take it to overtime. So here's the flashpoint.
They stopped defending, Skip.
Huh? Yeah, well,
they stopped defending.
Thank you. I needed that entree to the point I'm about to make. If we could see what happened, LeBron actually set up Rondo for a wide-open three that could have been the dagger. It could have iced it right there. And he kicked it back to Rondo, who misses the shot, as you see right here. Missed it really badly. Almost shot an air ball. And watch Goat James. He backpedals. He goes in the lane and plays his cavalier defense, as in, look who his man is. His man was Tobias Harris. We could maybe see that again. This is Tobias Harris.
LeBron is standing in the lane. Do we know for certain that Tobias Harris was his man?
You could just see the play unfolding. And I don't know if LeBron was let down because Rondo didn't even come close to making the three. But LeBron, and it's probably he's gassed at that point. Probably
I think Lou Williams was LeBron's man.
No, he was not. You know LeBron's not guarding any Lou Williams. He had Tobias Harris, and he does what he did so often last year in Cleveland, play cavalier defense, as in, I don't really care that much. He went and stood in the lane. I'm like, what are you doing? And Tobias says, really?
Okay, Skip, I will concede that.
Yeah.
That was a goofball move.
Okay. So
a two-pointer doesn't tie you. It doesn't beat you.
No, it doesn't.
Guard the three-point line.
You got to guard your man, LeBron. And again, I know you're back after whatever it was, 35 days, and you're not really in game shape.
5 weeks.
I get that. But to LeBron's credit, with 3.7 seconds left in regulation, he did what I beat the table for him to do. He had the guts to put his head down and drive the basketball on Tobias Harris, if we could see this play. And he's driving it, and he's driving it, and Tobias made a really shrewd operator play because he got all ball.
But he grabbed his arm. Tobias grabbed LeBron's right arm with his left arm. You saw that hook.
It was clean as a whistle, and then the ball accidentally tips off LeBron's right hand out of bounds, and LeBron just couldn't give it up. Like, I didn't knock the ball. Yes, you did. You knocked the ball out of bounds, so we are going to overtime. But LeBron, bottom line, had the nerve, had the guts to drive it, because you know what usually happens? You get that foul call, and that means LeBron's going to have to go stand there by himself with virtually no time on the clock and make one of two free throws to win the game. And I
that
just
no
don't
problem.
Know. I don't know. I'm doing this.
I know.
Watching my TV because I don't know if he's got that in him. Surely he could have made one of them.
But whatever.
But, again, I'm going to give him this credit. In overtime, he did shoot a fadeaway, like a hard fadeaway, where he was
faded.
The other way from the basket, like he did against Toronto last year. We haven't seen many of those this year, but he shot it and he made it, and that gave him a 120 to 118 lead. Now, can we get to the other flashpoint of this game? This happened with 45 seconds left. Lance Stephenson drives the basketball on Big Boban, and Boban's a monstrously big human being. And what did Lance do? He just cold cocks him with a left elbow right in the cheekbone. Just gave him a shot of shots.
Yeah.
And you know what? This was nearly as bad a blown call as the Saints-Rams call was. And here's another LA team that benefited, because that is just flat out offensive foul, wipe off the bucket, and it's Clippers basketball. Instead, they gave Lance, they let him get the foul, get to the free, they gave him the basket and let him shoot the free throw, which he made. So it goes from it's a two-point game, and all of a sudden, it's a five-point game. So that was the basketball team game right there. What referee crew would give that play to Lance? And it's Lance, of all people.
Yeah. He and the gets thing is, Skip, it's almost like he did it intentionally.
Yeah. What are you doing? He just shot right in the cheekbone.
It's called creating space.
Oh, well, he created space. He dropped Boban onto his knees is what he did. Poor Boban. He's like the gentlest soul in the NBA. Really a sweet kid. And poor Boban, you know. And how do you get away with that call? So, Goat James got away with one there, or they just might have lost that game.
Are we going to talk about what Goat James did in overtime?
Yeah, he was.
Are you going to address that?
He made that
two
shot.
For two.
He made that shot with 1:15 left, and that stood up as this sort of quasi game winner.
Right.
But at the very end.
What about them rebounds?
Yeah.
What about them assists?
Big. He's 6'9, 260. So, you know what? I tell you, every day we talk about this, he should average at least 10 rebounds a game. And that was why last night he had 14. He should get 13 or 14 every game. Right. I don't know. Right?
But I think the thing is, Skip, with the young guys is that when you say they play better, I think LeBron James gets them the ball in better spots. Because he's such an efficient and such a proficient passer,
he
knows where to get these guys the ball in their most comfortable area. And so they do seem to play better. But we hadn't seen this from Brandon Ingram play this well beside LeBron. Normally it's Kuzma.
Yep.
But for Brandon to go 7-12, I thought he played really well last night.
Yeah, and the irony was Kuzma really didn't shoot it very well. And he's the guy who usually just lights up for LeBron. He wants to please the king.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's still highly possible. Again, LA Times report yesterday that the Lakers have offered, as I said from the start, what they should offer, Lonzo and Kuzma and Brandon Ingram and your man Zubats and a first rounder. Just they put it right on the table for the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are fools if they don't take that. They should take it and run with it right now because they're not going to get a better offer simply because Rich Paul has made it crystal clear to Celtics or Knicks or whomever else that there is no way that Anthony Davis is going to sign long-term with Boston or New York or wherever.
He's rental property.
Yep.
With no hopes of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, you're going to be able to live here, but I'm never selling to you.
That is correct. So why wouldn't the Pelicans just swallow the pride that's now bubbled to the surface and just say,
because,
you know
what? Because, as you mentioned, pride.
Pride.
Anthony Davis is trying to hold us up,
make us trade him
to where he wants to, and we're upset, even though they told us this summer we would not sign the extension and we wanted to move on and where we wanted to move on to.
Yep. So that would be a great deal for the Pelicans. And I got to tell you, you still got Drew Holiday and you still got Julius Randle and Mirotić. You put those four kids in the middle of that, maybe not this year, but next year and the next, they would become a contender. They would be. That'd be a good basketball team.
Yes.
When LeBron was
asked
about it.
We'll be even better basketball team with AD.
Well,
exactly. He was asked about AD, and he said, I'm not going to talk about it. It's just fantasy basketball until something
happens. Yeah, we don't talk about stuff like that, Skip, because they're always trying to get us for tampering. Everybody got something to say about LeBron, so he's right. He's not talking about AD.
Yeah.
But we know what's about to happen.
Yeah, we know somebody who's been tampering on this show for 3 months. Am I right? Why don't you get fined?
What am I doing tampering? You ask me a question, I say this would be a great trade for the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a guy.
Yeah,
just a guy. I'm going to keep referring to you as just a guy.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.